Fustomai, I'm Judith Leigh, welcoming you to the last of our special programmes here on Manx Radio, marking the 80th anniversary of VE Day, the declaration of victory in Europe, the beginning of the end of the Second World War, on the 8th of May, 1945. Music from the 1940s filled a packed Royal Hall in the Villa Marina last Thursday night, all part of a VE Day concert, a major part of the island's commemoration of this important anniversary. The nostalgic songs and big band music were great, but it was the words of the young people that moved me most, confidently coming onto that big stage to tell touching stories that they'd discovered, first-hand accounts of family members they'd never met but who'd been actively involved in many different ways in the Second World War. In a few moments, you're going to hear stories and music from the children from Laxey and the Doon schools. But before that, I want to turn the clock back 30 years to the 50th anniversary of VE Day, when it was again Laxey school children who led the way with a commemoration on their very own radio station. Hands up, everyone who remembers Radio Isabella.
Off we go on the radio. Off we go on the radio.
Years ago, on the 8th of May, Europe declared victory over Germany. After 6 years of fighting, Europe had won the battle. Mr. Gare is a regular visitor to Laxey School, and today he is here to answer some of our questions about the war. Hello, Mr. Gare.
Hello, Joe and children. I'm glad to be here with you.
Mr. Gare, when were you born, and how old were you when the war started?
I was born in the year 1914, and I was 25 years old when the war started.
How old were you when the war ended?
I was 31 years of age when VE Day came along, but I was 32 years old when the war with Japan ended.
What were you in? Navy, Army, Air Force, or Fleet Aeron? And what rank were you?
I joined the Royal Navy. My own father was killed as a soldier during the First World War, and mother didn't want me to go into the army, so I went into the navy. I started off as an ordinary seaman and ended up as a commissioned schoolmaster.
Do you have any special memories of the war?
Yes, I took part in the Dieppe raid in August 1942. This was to test the German defences there. 5,000 men attempted to get ashore and only a quarter returned. Amazingly, three of us who did survive attended the same grammar school in County Durham.
Mr. Gare, have you got any happy memories of the war?
Yes. For a time I was stationed at HMS St. George, a training base for boys entering the Navy. This was in Douglas, Isle of Man. I enjoyed the island so much, I came over here to live just after the war ended.
Mr. Gare, did you visit any schools?
Yes, I taught the Navy cadets at Ballochmeen School. Then, after the war, taught at Ballochmeen School. One of the teachers there was a Mr. Roy Cowley, who used to teach at Laxey School before the war. Before I was demobbed, I visited schools in Sicily and Malta.
Where were you when you heard the war was over?
I was at HMS Hamilcar, a landing craft base in Messina, Sicily, in the Mediterranean Sea.
Were you glad when the war was over?
Yes, indeed. But the VE Day wasn't the end of the war. We still thought we might have to go out to the Far East to fight the Japanese. Luckily, the Japs surrendered in August 1945, and I was even happier then.
Thank you, Mr. Gare. Would you like to give a final word to our listeners?
Yes. Even though we've had two world wars causing millions of deaths, the world hasn't learnt to live in peace. Love thy neighbour is still unknown to so many people.
Now it's the end of the war. Peace and love has opened a door. Inside the door is all the peace and all the love. Now please stop fighting. In Bosnia, civilians are dying more by the day. Please stop fighting. Now everyone has peace and love. Now try to understand and please stop fighting.
Another gem from the Manx Radio Archives, Laxey School's Radio Isabella, with their VE Day 50th anniversary commemoration. And 30 years later, it was Laxey and the Doon Schools who played their part in the 80th anniversary concert in the villa last week.
Many years ago, during the Second World War, life looked very different for lots of children. They had to be brave, help their families, and do their part for the nation. Some helped grow food, like digging up potatoes from the fields. Others learned to make their sweets last longer because there wasn't enough for everyone to have as much as they wanted.
Some children had to leave their homes and travel far away to stay safe. They became evacuees, moving to new towns and villages, learning to live in new places with new families.
My name is Hetty, and tonight I want to tell you about someone very special to me, my great Nanny Anne. I only met her when I was a baby, but I've learnt about her from my family and a recording she made with my cousin. When she was 8 years old, Nanny Anne was evacuated during World War II. She had to leave her home in Birmingham and travel all the way to Wales. She packed a little suitcase, her gas mask and sandwich. She didn't know where she was going and she missed her mum and dad so much. But she stayed brave the whole time she was away. When she finally went home, life was different and hard, but people stayed strong and didn't give up. Nanny Anne remembered VE Day clearly. There was a big bonfire in the field across the road. Everyone came out to sing, dance, and celebrate. They stayed up all night, smiling and laughing. She said, there was so much joy on that night. I am proud to be standing here today at the same age she was to share her story. This is for her and all the other evacuees. Thank you.
Even though times were hard, children found ways to help stay strong and keep hope alive. Today we share their story, remembering their courage and kindness.
During the Second World War, people faced difficult times and dreamed of peace. Families were apart and many hoped for brighter days when they could be together again.
In times of great challenge, music has a way of bringing hope, reminding us of brighter days ahead. The White Cliffs of Dover does just that. In this song, the cliffs stand tall and strong, looking over the sea like a promise that better days will come. Just like the cliffs, people stayed strong, believing that peace would return.
As we sing, let's remember the message of this song, that no matter how tough things get, hope and kindness can bring people together and a better future is always possible.
Love and laughter and peace ever after.
of audience appreciation there for Laxey and the Doon Schools with their teacher, Miss Shimmin. Last Thursday's VE Day commemoration was organised jointly by the Cabinet Office and the Royal British Legion, and Tony Brown, OBE, in his capacity as President of the Isle of Man branch of the Royal British Legion, introduced these senior school students.
We now have narrations by Castleton High School secondary school students. Please welcome Camilla Perry and Katie Rose Hughes.
Good evening, everyone. Today we are honoured to share some memories from our students at Castle Rushen High School about their family histories, linked to experiences during World War II. These stories not only highlight the bravery and sacrifices of their ancestors, but also remind us of the importance of remembering and learning from the past.
Matthew shared the fascinating story of his great-great-uncle, Philip R. Corrin. Philip was a bombardier on an American B-24 Liberator in the Army Air Corps, assigned to the 13th Air Force, also known as the Jungle Air Force. He was stationed on Moratai Island, located between New Guinea and the Philippines. In 1944, Philip's plane was shot down by the Japanese over the island of Borneo. Remarkably, he spent 7 months hiding in the jungle and villages of Borneo, supported by the local population while the island was under Japanese occupation. Philip documented his experiences in a detailed diary, completed with photographs, maps, and personal recollections. This diary is a treasured family heirloom, offering a vivid account of the horrors of war, human bravery, and the kindness he encountered. Matthew finds his great-great-uncle's history fascinating and inspiring.
Freddie shared the story of his great-great-grandfather, Thomas Bond, who is remembered at the Brookwood War Memorial in Surrey. Thomas died on 28th of September 1942 and was awarded the 1939-45 star. Freddie's family is proud of his service and shared an image of the memorial where Thomas's name is inscribed. Freddie also spoke about his great-great-uncle, James Merrick, who fought at Dunkirk. James was captured and spent the remainder of the war in a prisoner of war camp. He was promoted to the rank of captain and was mentioned in dispatches. Freddie's family shared family trees, photographs, and a newspaper article detailing James's status as missing before he was located in the prisoner of war camp.
Isabel shared the story of her great-great-grandfather, who was stationed in North Africa and Italy during the war. Before the war, he was a furniture upholsterer. Isabel is curious about the choices made by her relatives, why some joined the RAF whilst others went into the army. She wonders, like many others do, whether they were conscripted or volunteered. Sophie from Year 9 shared the story of her great-grandfather, who was part of the British landing in Sicily in 1943. This event also coincided with his 21st birthday, an event that also marked his promotion to captain in the Highland Division. Sophie's family have many photos and still own his cap and uniform from this very event.
Tristan's Manx ancestors played significant roles during the war. His great-great-grandfather remained on the Isle of Man as a farmer, a protected occupation. His great-great-grandfather's two brothers went to fight, one for the Manx Regiment and the other for the Royal Air Force. Charlie shared memories from her grandmother, who was a schoolgirl on the island during the war. Her grandmother recalls the difficulties of living under rationing and the Italian internees who worked at her family farm. These internees would pick wild garlic from the hedgerows to improve the taste of their food.
Many of our students were eager to share their family histories, and parents and other relatives were grateful and helpful to provide information. And a common theme along these stories is the desire to keep the memories alive, ensuring that the experiences and sacrifices of their ancestors are not forgotten.
There is a strong desire to learn from the past. As one of our Year 9 students' relatives wisely said, if we forget these hideous moments in history and do not heed the lessons of the past, they could occur again.
As a school and an island community, we must continue to remember the sacrifices and the stories of those who fought in the war, as well as those who lived through it at home. In these troubled times, it's crucial to listen to the lessons of the past and take heed from them carefully. Thank you.
We now have two students from Ramsey Grammar School.
My name is Daniel Cross, and the man you see on the screen is Harold Garrett, my great-grandfather, who served as a member of the Manx Regiment during the Second World War. I never got to meet him, as he passed in 1993. And like many veterans of the Second World War, he never spoke of his experiences of service to anyone. So, you're probably now wondering why I'm here and how on earth I know anything about him. Well, in my granny's attic, there is a brown leather suitcase the most interesting and awe-inspiring suitcase I have ever opened. It is full of everything my great-granddad gained during the war, from badges and buttons, to photos and leaflets, and even a German officer's knife he had seized from a prisoner. Using these items, I pieced together his World War II journey as part of the 2023 Tell Me Project, and I was honoured to win the Spirit of Normandy Hector Duff Prize. Before war broke out, my great-granddad trained as an electrician and married Catherine Margaret Cooley, my great-grandmother, in 1936. Harold, when war broke out, was a member of the Manx Regiment and the 7th Armoured Division, nicknamed the Desert Rats, and served in North Africa from 1941 to 1943. The journey of the Desert Rats began in Egypt, 1941, before moving westward across North Africa, becoming involved in campaigns including Operation Compass. They took part in famous battles such as El Alamein and the Siege of Tobruk. By 1943, after this lengthy campaign finished, they moved to Italy during the 1943 invasion. Later, carrying out a European campaign, my great-grandfather landed on Gold Beach on D-Day with his division. From there, he moved through North France into Belgium, liberating locations such as Ghent and Brussels from Nazi rule, into a bit of the Netherlands before moving on to Germany, stopping in Wesel before moving to Hamburg, where they were when the war ended. During his service, my great-granddad was also responsible for a couple of important duties. He was a dispatch rider, collecting and delivering messages and mail for the Manx soldiers. Pictures of him carrying out this role on his green motorbike even made the Manx newspapers at the time. Communication is key in every element of life, especially war. He was also a member of the Royal Artillery and held a license to operate a battery. As he was a trained electrician, his electrical skills proved useful during service, as he managed to make extra money doing jobs on transit ships he boarded, such as the HMT Viceroy of India, the troop ship which carried him and other soldiers to North Africa in 1940. He earned 6 medals during his service, the Territorial Army Efficiency Medal, the France and Germany Star, the Italy Star, the 1939 to 1945 Star, and the War Medal 1939 to 1945, and the Africa Star as well. When I first saw these medals and held them in my hands, it's safe to say I was truly amazed. And despite the fact I'd never met him in the flesh, honoured I have such a heroic great-grandfather. Shortly after the war finished, my great-granddad returned home from his post in Hamburg. He became quiet and never spoke of his experiences to anyone. We believe, like many veterans, he suffered with post-traumatic stress disorder, though it was not known of or recognised at the time. To me, that is why peace is so important. Conflict has affected so many people. It injures, kills, and mentally scars so many. From the soldier just following orders who is left traumatized after seeing the most horrendous sights, to the family left bereaved when their relative dies a hero in service. Every single person on this earth has a family, has people who care about them and love them and who will miss them when they are gone. And when war takes these people away, it is not fair. As we celebrate 80 years since the end of the Second World War in Europe, I have taken a lot of time to think about, and I'm grateful for the service my great-grandfather and every other veteran carried out. Every single person who was involved in the conflict, no matter how big or small their role, are heroes in my eyes, and I will certainly live forever looking up to my great-granddad Harold, a hero. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Jess Musgrove, the winner of the 2024 Tell Me Project, and I found my passion for history by learning about war and peace. First, I'm going to speak about my great-granddad, Professor John Musgrove. He was called up to serve in the RAF in 1939, but spent a lot of time at Coningsby Air Base in Lincolnshire, waiting for posting. Here, he met Gladys, and they married before he was sent abroad in 1941. He spent his time away moving around North Africa and Italy, establishing listening and communication posts throughout these countries. He did not return home until 1945. The second of my great-granddads was Harold Pearson. He had a reserved occupation with GPO, which is now British Telecom. Much of what he did was very secret work. He married Joan in 1943, and due to rationing, she couldn't have a proper wedding dress. Harold also worked at Goon Hilly Tracking Station in Cornwall. He helped to design the station and disc. Although he wasn't a part of the military forces, his jobs and skills played a huge role in the Second World War. Next is Victor John Reynolds, another of my great-granddads. During World War II, he was in the army and rose to be second lieutenant. He worked out elliptical trajectories of V-1 and V-2 unmanned flying bombs, allowing them to be shot down accurately. He was married to Hannah, and she worked as a secretary at Willesden College in World War II. The last of my great-granddads, Thomas Walker, was in the Merchant Navy. He did not fight, but he shipped food across the Atlantic to and from America. He was rescued 3 times from sea. One of these times, his ship was cut in half by a torpedo. He married Marjorie Alice Louisa Walker in 1944. I wish that I could know more, but as we grow further from the war, information becomes lost, and it is vital that we do not forget the past, a quote that sums this up quite well for me. That which has happened is a warning. To forget is guilt. It must be continually remembered, and it remains possible for it to happen again at any minute. Only in knowledge can it be prevented. Karl Jaspers, a German philosopher. Peace between nations is so important. Without peace, the world wouldn't function smoothly, the economy would lose stability, and the well-being of humankind suffers. In the Second World War, many lives were lost, and 80 years later, we honor and remember them in our daily lives. To keep the peace, we must never forget.
Real-life stories and challenging thoughts shared by students from Castle Rushen High School and Ramsey Grammar School at last Thursday's VE Day 80th anniversary commemoration. But for one local family, VE Day is not what they celebrate at this time. Reverends Steve and Rebecca Ingruel are Methodist ministers living with their 2 daughters in Onchan and ministering to 7 churches in the east of the island. Listen now as Steve explains what this time means to his family.
My family are from the Channel Islands, which was the only part of British soil to be occupied during the Second World War. In Guernsey and Jersey, the main celebration each year does not fall on VE Day, but on the 9th of May, Liberation Day. One of my great aunties kept a diary during those final few days of the occupation. And if you ever want to know what the weather was doing in the Channel Islands on those days, she started every entry with a very short summary. But I find these entries deeply moving, and here's an extract from that diary beginning on Saturday the 5th of May, 1945. Saturday, May the 5th. Rain and wind. Starting to get excited at hearing good news, hoping for our release. Sunday the 6th. Finer weather, very warm afternoon. Very excited at the news, waiting for peace and freedom. German soldiers are walking around looking sad. Bert went to Sunday school practice this afternoon and we went to the mission in the evening. Stan and Joan came round later and we heard about the Channel Islands on our crystal radio. Monday the 7th of May. Beautiful weather. Got all the clothes washed and dried. We sat outside making red, white and blue rosettes all afternoon, got the flags ready. Went to Dad's home in the evening, heard that Cousin Mill has died in hospital. The lack of supplies are affecting us everywhere. Heard some disappointing news on the radio about our release tonight. Went to bed and watched the signals. Tuesday the 8th of May. VE Day. Disappointment Day. No rejoicing here. Even the weather is showery and thundery. We heard good news of German surrender at 10 a.m. and Bert and I rode into town. Had beautiful weather this afternoon and this evening, listened to the King and Churchill's broadcast. But we are in disappointment day here. When will our freedom come? Wednesday, the 9th of May. Beautiful weather. Today began sad, but ended glad. Warships arrived this morning. We went into town at 9:15 and shook hands with everyone. British Tommies had a signal line and joined in a broadcast. Had Flo and Don round for tea and rested in the afternoon despite the display of aircraft overhead. Bert and Don went into town to watch them. We had a Thanksgiving service at the mission this evening. Didn't get to bed until 12:30. Our day of rejoicing, the day of liberty. Could hardly get to sleep with all the excitement. Thursday the 10th of May. Lovely weather. Life is grand. Almost too good to be true. Plenty of good food is available at last, but our stomachs can't take it all. Daisy and Charlie came for tea, and we spent the evening listening to the broadcast on the Crystal Radio. Our island flags are flying everywhere. British soldiers warmly welcomed. Germans are being made to clean up the mines and barbed wire, etc. Our population is too full for words. Enjoying full cream milk again. No more curfew. No more blackout. Our cage has been opened after 5 years captivity, and we are free. Praise to God. You see, the war was over. But the islanders still had to live under occupation until the victory was realised for them. My great auntie was there making red, white and blue rosettes. What signs of hope can we bring for those around us? How can we be people of peace, light and hope until we see that fulfilment of the world as it should be, where nation shall not fight against nation, and neither will they learn war anymore?
Thank you to everyone who has shared their stories and challenged us never to forget. And thank you for listening. The full concert and drumhead service that we recorded in the Villa Marina on the 8th of May, the actual 80th anniversary of VE Day, are all now available as podcasts via manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider. Just search for Manx Radio Island Life Series Specials. I'm Judith, and I wish you a very good evening.